I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm going to cut straight to the chase today, folks. No fluff, no filler. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking, and I am going to give you a seven-part series on the basics of entrepreneurship, and in particular, finding a business and creating a business, right? It's all about the marketing, so this is not going to deal with anything but marketing, really. It's not about the finances, it's not about inventory, all of which is a crucial set of areas to know about. But it's a seven-part series based on the work of Dan Bradbury, who was a coach who I worked with and then for a while, a number of years ago, who's just such a great sort of clear-minded entrepreneur in so many ways, and very, very good solopreneur, built up a business from nothing to several hundred thousand dollars a month, really, and pounds actually, because he's based in the UK, but you know, within a couple of years. So very impressive guy. And I think this stuff helps clarify the differences between some basic principles, if you're getting those right or wrong, versus Amazon specific things that could go right or wrong for your business. So here goes number one. Number one is very simple and very profound at the same time. Number one is about finding a niche market. So let's define those terms. What is a market? First of all, market's just a set of buyers and sellers in one place, if you want to call it that way. The one place that they would meet is a marketplace. Okay, so we've got a market, which is buyers and sellers, and the marketplace. And literally, sometimes you would have a bunch of people selling, say, apples next to somebody selling, meat or something at a marketplace. And you would have a bunch of people turning up who are looking for their groceries, right? In this case, obviously, the marketplace is Amazon that we're focused on. But don't confuse two different things. There's marketplace-specific things. Like if you're in a marketplace that is used to selling groceries, and maybe you can sell small toys, but you certainly won't be selling, you know, cars or anything that if it gets rained on will get ruined. I'm trying to think what that would be. So different marketplaces focus on different things, right? Now, let's get back to the basics here. So you are looking at a person who is coming in to buy stuff. So that's a person who has a pain. So the two big P's on the demand side or the customer side are the person and the pain. The person can be defined by demographics, if you want to use a posh word, but that basically means things like the age, sex, education level, geographically where they are, you know, that sort of thing. And the psychographics is the more interesting side, which is their pain or the problem, i.e. what motivates them. You know, who are they? What are their values? What do they like? What do they hate? What's a big turnoff? What's a big plus for them? And specifically, what problem are they bringing to the marketplace to solve, right? If you've got the problem of not any food, then you want to go and buy in a supermarket or possibly a market. If you are coming on Amazon because, for example, you've lost something and you need to buy it to replace it, that's a pain. You know, sometimes you're motivated by inspiration and you really love something and you really got to have it. For example, I wanted to get this new microphone that I'm testing out today, a little lapel microphone, because I was excited by this. I could record when I'm away from home. I'm just testing it out, even though I am at home today. And on the other side, it solves a problem, which is like getting recordings done when I'm away from home. So ultimately, you can boil everything down to solving a problem, really. And you can go very, very far with this and very in-depth, and I would encourage you to do this, and I would encourage you to do it early. As soon as you are clear about where your market is, and in Amazon you call that the product category, for example, is it baby, is it sports and outdoors, is it, you know, kitchen, whatever, that you try and go as deep as you can into what your potential customers want. If you already have turnover and you already have product selling, then try and build up an email list or at least phone them up, do both, and just try and have conversations with people about what they really want. You know, try and get as big a fuller picture as you can of your customers, right? So their psychographics, if you like, particularly. But the demographics are worth knowing as well. If you're marketing to, you know, if you're selling bike lights and you thought that you were selling to 20-something guys who are out doing sports riding, and actually you're selling to 40-something guys who are doing commuting, that's a really different market. They're going to have really different language. They're going to want different things. You're solving a different problem, a different pain, right? So the pain of lights for going out on a mountain bike at the weekend is different from competitive racing, is different from commuting, right? I'm a 40-something guy who does commuting, for example. So I might have the problem that I'm sick of recharging my bike lights or changing the batteries, rather, and I just can't see very well because my eyesight's getting worse because I'm older, in which case I want super bright lights and I want rechargeable lights, which is a different niche market. than, say, you know, the generic bike lights market, which, by the way, is going to be incredibly crowded on Amazon because it's a light, easy to ship product that is, you know, going to cost you, you know, $2-3 a unit, probably. I don't know because I haven't sourced them, nor do I intend to because it's so crowded, but you get the idea. So that brings us to the second part of the market, which is looking at the competition. And really, the first thing to do is look at your competition, not through your eyes as your competition, but through the seller, the shopper's eyes as another potential place to get their problem solved, i.e. buy a product. And you need to look through them and think, again, compare it then to your customer's values and needs and look through that prism, if you will, look through your customer's eyes at those products and services that turn up on Amazon. And, you know, you will see quite quickly what things that you think stand out to you as good and what things are a real turnoff as well. That will obviously include Amazon-specific things like the number of stars, the average review, but it will also include basic things like the price, what it looks like, and any features or benefits. Now, that brings me to another small point which is related to this, which is the benefits of your product are what the customer wants. For example, if I want to be able to see clearly at night, I want to see the words "see clearly at night" written down there. I don't really care that it's a Zenon Super X Mark 2.3 type lens. That doesn't mean anything to me if I don't make bike parts. And if I'm a customer, I don't make bike parts. I want to buy a bike light and I want it to do a specific job for me. I want it to be, in my case, for example, I want it to be rechargeable so that I don't have to look for batteries. I want the charge to last for a long time. And I want, for example, I want to see clearly at night and I want to make sure I'm safe. Yeah, so the rear light particularly is going to be very important. Cycling around in London in the dark is not very safe, as you can imagine, and I do a lot of that. So I want to see the words "makes you safer" because why? Because this, that, and the other. I want to see the words "brighter." I want to see the words "last for longer," things like that. So spell it out to your customers, okay? So that sort of touches on the, you know, the whole listing as well as the product choice and competition. Yeah, but what we're doing is we're coming back to who is your customer and what do they want, or the person and the pain, yeah, person and the problem. Keep it dead simple, but from that simple approach, you know, a lot of complex information will flow that you need to know. Now, that touches on, talking about competition, that touches on something else which we will deal with in the next episode in this 7-part series, which is simply the differentiation of your product from everybody else's, particularly if you're in a crowded marketplace. It's really, really crucial, and that is not quite the same thing as which niche market you choose to go after, right? So that is, again, a distinction between business thinking as a whole and Amazon as a specific platform in particular. Okay, so we've dealt with today the person and the pain. Basically, who is your customer and what motivates them? Right? And the deeper you can go into those simple questions, the better you'll understand the market. And as Andre Chaperon of Autoresponder Madness says, basically, he or she who understands the market best wins. So don't overlook the power in that and do everything as you gradually build your business to connect with your customers and find out who are they and what do they want. And don't just guess. I mean, okay, being a member of your target market is very good because you will automatically have an understanding from your own thinking, your own psychology. But that is a great starting point, but it is not enough. You need to ask people, and you need to still keep asking people even when you've got a lot of answers. So folks, hope that is helpful. Big picture stuff, but very specifically applicable to Amazon because the supply and demand side of Amazon is pretty ugly. So it really pays you now to understand what you're doing based on firm and sound business principles. Let me know what you think of this new approach. It's going to be under 10 minutes. It's quick and dirty, but it's actually very, very powerful stuff as well. Do not underestimate the power of correctly understood, deeply absorbed business principles. They are the thing on which you build your practices, i.e. specific behaviors. So even your strategies need to be built on principles that you understand. If your principles are right, then the strategies will be better, and then the tactics that you develop from that will also work, okay? Tactics are what everybody wants. They get you going quickest, that's great, but they die off the quickest because everyone else copies them the quickest or is taught the same damn thing, yeah? Strategic thinking is much more powerful in the long term, and that is something that you need to train yourself to think more and more as you grow a bigger business. But firm, basic grasp of principles will never really go out of style. I mean, demand and supply ratio and understanding your customers and what drives them is something that was probably true back in, you know, ancient Greece, and is certainly true now. And it's true on Amazon and it's true off Amazon. So there's never going to be a substitute for understanding the basic principles. Hope that helps, guys. Let me know your thoughts and any questions. Come to the Facebook group, www.amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. We now have over 280 members. It's growing all the time, and a great place to be. By the way, if you haven't heard it, I am going to be interviewing Greg Mercer on Monday the 25th. So a fantastic person to find out about product research from. So by the time this podcast is published, it may be that he's already been interviewed. But if you hear this podcast before about midday British summertime on Monday the 25th, then get yourself over to the Facebook group and ask a question, and I will put your questions to Greg. I'm planning to interview him. I think we're scheduling for 1 o'clock British summertime. So get yourself over there and get those questions in nice and quickly, and I will put your personal question directly to Greg. If you get on with it, there's a reason. Okay, thanks, guys. Speak to you in the next podcast.